We're going. Yeah. Excellent. Good morning. If you've got a Bible, grab hold of it and turn to Psalm 24, if you will, please. And I'll read that to you. Of the last time I spoke here a couple of weeks ago, we did the first half of Psalm 24 very quickly, and we'll do the second half very quickly. Don't worry, don't panic. I can see the clock. It's right there. So it's good, all right? So we'll do that. So as you turn into Psalm 24, I'll read it to you. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. If you've got something different, don't panic. It's just the vagaries of translating language. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, which is a good thing, right? That's great. The world and all its people belong to him, for he laid the foundations on the seas and built it on the ocean depths. Who may climb the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? Only those whose hands and hearts are pure. Remember that? Clean hands, pure hearts, can't lose. Right? Remember that chant? From camp, like, clean hands, pure hearts, can't lose. That's awesome. We need to print that on a shirt. It'd be a good shirt. Clean hands, pure hearts, can't lose. Only those who have clean hands and pure hearts and who do not worship idols and don't tell lies. Remember that. It's a good thing, speak the truth. They will receive the Lord's blessing and have a right relationship with God, their Savior. Such people may seek you and worship in your presence, O God of Jacob. If you're wondering why I'm struggling to read this, these are not my glasses. All right. These are somebody just left these in the church, and I forgot mine. But they sort of work. Ish. All right. So now we're at verse 7. So now we're at verse 7. There, right there. If I don't move, I'm good. Right there. Okay. They might be bifocals. That's what it is. Oh, right, I've got it. There we are. Right. Okay. Verse 7, right? Read it in your Bibles. It'll say maybe say something different. Some of your translations are going to say be lifted up. Some of them are going to say swing wide. Some of them are going to say different things, but it's great. It all means the same things. Open up ancient gates. Open up you ancient doors and let the King of Glory enter. Now, it repeats that again in verse 9. I'm going to take these off because I'm making me motion sick. It repeats that same phrase in verse 9, right? Open up, you ancient gates. Be opened up, you ancient doors. Now, it repeats it twice. And it does that for a reason. Like I told you before, one of my favorite poems is history repeats itself, has to, no one listens. That's the whole poem. That's the whole thing. And God repeats himself here deliberately. It's not a typo. It's because it's with emphasis. It's be lifted up, you ancient gates. Be opened up, you ancient doors. Now, I want to ask you a question. Like, what's the difference between... you know there is a difference between gates and doors. If you don't, you're not doing a reno on my house. Because there's a difference, right? Like, if in some cities, in some places in the world, they still have city gates. Still have them there. We can go and visit them. You can see them. They're big things. They swing open. You go to the gates of a prison, the outer walls of a prison. They've got big gates at the sally port to let you in and out. You have gates on farmers' fields. You have gates on farmyards. You have gates on vineyards. And you might have a garden gate. And it marks an outer perimeter of security. That's what it marks. A door is different. A door is attached to your home. It's attached to a room. And so when he says this, he's marking out for us the different places that we can actually keep God in our relationship with him. Be opened up, you gates. Because I don't know about you, there's people, I don't have a gate on my drive. All right? So when Mark bangs on the door of my house, I have to let him in. Right, because there's no gate. So there's no gate there. But there's people who will walk onto my drive who don't get past the front door. You understand that, right? If you've got a gate to your house, you hear the and it's, if you don't you know, if you keep the hinges rusty, it's like a burglar alarm. Right? You hear the gate open, and they're welcome to come through your gate, but you may not let them through your front door. And it's like a degree of separation. How close am I wanting to let God get to me? And that's what this psalm is pointing out to us. How close do you want him to be? Do you want to keep him at the gate? Or do you want to invite him into the doors? That's why it makes the distinction. It's not just a nice phraseology and poetry. It is that, and it's very cleverly written. But the gate marks this distinction of separation. And so he says, be lifted up, you ancient gates. Like I said, there's people that you're going to keep on your doorstep, but there's people that you're going to invite in. Now, I still can't just walk into somebody's house. And it annoys Mark and sometimes Linda when we have elders meetings at their houses, because I know they're expecting me, but I just can't. And it annoys Michelle as well, because I have to knock, right? I have to stop at the door and knock, because it's your stinking house. I'm not just going to walk into your house whether I'm invited or not. And I've got Bible for it. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. All right? So if God's going to knock, I'm going to knock. Right? If God's going to knock, I'm going to knock. So I just want to go to the door. But you see, the wonderful thing is, that's what he offers us. He doesn't come charging up your path and kick your gates off. He doesn't come charging up to the front door of my life and kick the doors open. He asks me in this psalm, he says, you do it. You open the gate. You open the door. Why? So that the King of Glory can come in. It's not so that you can be nosy. He will get nosy in your life. Wow. He will get nosy in your life. So the King of Glory can come in. Who is this King of Glory? Now listen to this. Listen to the progression in this description. It's brilliant writing. Listen to this. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord strong. Know anybody who's strong? Your dad, when you're growing up as a kid, is the strongest human being you know. Right? It's true, right? They've got this dad strength. It's just weird. Right? It's weird. It's strange. Like, my son is way stronger than me. Physically, is way stronger than me. But when we wrestle, I have dad strength. And so it's an undefinable thing, right? And we don't wrestle now. He's too big. Right? So, but you have this dad strength. The Lord's strong. Anybody got the word mighty next? Yeah, it's wonderful, isn't it? Mighty. It's in the New Living Translation too, right? Strong, mighty. See the progression? We all know people who are strong. How many people do you know who are mighty? Oh, that's a great word, right? It's in the Creed too. The Father Almighty, right? Why do we use that term, Almighty? This is not me. I'm not smart enough for this. This is somebody else came up with this. They said mighty is having endless possibilities in view of reality. Endless possibilities in view of reality. So no matter what reality you're faced with, there are endless possibilities to that person who is mighty. And God is mighty. So he's strong, but he's mighty. But it doesn't stop there. Listen to this progression. After the next one, it says this. It says, mighty, the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, the Lord, invincible in battle. Isn't that a great title? Invincible. I don't know what it says in the King James. I can't remember. Mighty in battle. Okay, Lord, mighty in battle. Okay, invincible in battle. Open up your ancient gates and open up your ancient doors for the King of Glory to come in. Who is this King of Glory? Listen to this in verse 10. The Lord God of heaven's armies. Can I ask you a question? If somebody pulled up onto your, if the RCMP came walking up your drive, they've probably got no reason to visit you. They visit my house every now and again. And so if the RCMP walked up your drive and banged on your door and said, could we come in? And you might think, oh, okay, fine, yeah. Can you imagine if they drove their assault SWAT team tank up your driveway? Just somebody get, we like to come in. Yeah, okay. Just have at it. Come in all you want. And that's how God actually turns up in our life. He's the Lord God of heaven's armies. And he's marshaling the troops of heaven behind him. And as he walks towards our life, he stops at the outer gates. Think of the humility of that. Stops at the outer gates and says, will you open the gate? Will you just open the gate? He can kick it down. He can blow it away. But he says, you open it. Be lifted up. Open up the gates. It's a continual, consistent opening up. It's not a one-time event that the way this is written, that opening up the gates, it's an ongoing, continuing opening. And then he approaches even closer and says, will you open up the door? Can I come indoors? Now, I don't know. I don't know how many of you do dumb things. That was your outside voice, Kathy. I feel your pain, Mark. It's your outside voice. It's your outside voice. I did something really dumb last night. I went home from Michael's house and went home, and I was writing out sermon notes. Just because that's what I do on Saturday nights, now I write them out again on Sunday morning. I have no idea why. I put them in the fridge. Like, I got up this morning and I was like, where? I know I wrote. Am I going mad? And I thought, what? I thought, oh, I need coffee. Open the fridge. Oh. What are they? You ever done anything dumb? Like, really dumb? Yeah, forget your glasses. Yeah, I'm having the full weekend of this. You know what a really dumb thing to do is? Leave God at the gate. That's a dumb thing to do. Leave God at the gate, coming in or going out. It's a dumb thing to do. To leave God at your door is a dumb thing to do, going in or going out. It's a dumb thing to do. We need to carry the Lord God of heaven's armies. I don't know about you. I don't know what you face during a week. I don't know what battles you face. I don't know what trials you face. I don't know what promotion things are on the horizon. I don't know what traumas there are in your work. I don't know what financial things that you wrestle with. I don't know what family things. But if we leave God at the gate, if we leave God at the door of our house going in or coming out, then we remove him from involvement in our everyday life. We were singing that song. Can only imagine that one. That's right. Forever worship you. Now, I don't know about you, right? But when I sing stuff like that, and I think, forever worship you. An eternal worship service. I'm not down for that. After the first 500 years, I'm probably going to get bored. The heavenly ADD is going to kick in. Because you see, Romans chapter 12 says this, that living your life full of God, as your life handed over to God, is your reasonable act of worship. So when I get to heaven, I'm not just going to sit around strumming a guitar and singing praise songs. I mean, there might be a worship concert that goes on, and we can go in and out, go in and out. But I wanna cast an unfallen cast. You know what I mean? I wanna fish with an unfallen fly, and I wanna catch an unfallen trout from an unfallen lake. I wanna ski down an unfallen mountain on snow that hasn't been touched by the fall. I want to dance and fight and wrestle with my unfallen kids. I want to live in an unfallen body. and I want to do the work that God put us on this earth to do in the beginning. But I can't do that then or now if I keep God at the gate. I've got to let him in. And he walks up the path and goes, nice garden. I don't like flowers. Can't eat them. And he says, can I come in your house? Can I really come in and be part of every single part of your living? Can I make your life a reasonable act of worship in every single thing that you do? Not just the singing. And then one of the saddest things that I can do is I can leave church and walk out through the doors and leave God at the doors and think of this as my worship. But that's not successful church. Successful church is what happens on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. That's successful church. I have to carry him with me. I have to have him with me. I have to invite him in. And the wonderful thing about this, and this is the great news for all of us, we don't have to do it all at once. He actually sets it out, says, hey, lift up the gates. Be lifted up, gates. And then there's this pause. And he says, be lifted up, doors. He doesn't say, open the gates and doors. You notice that? It's two distinct phrases. He doesn't say, open up the gates and doors. He says, open up the gates. Open up the gates. Just watch what I do when I get closer to you. Watch how I don't harm you. Watch how I do the God stuff that only God can do. And after you've seen me do that at that distance, then open up the doors. Now, some of us sitting and standing here, we have God at the gates. And he says, can you open the gate? Do you mind? Some of us got God at the door. And there's a comfort level there. And there's a progression there. And he says, look, just open up whatever comfort level you're good at. You just come up. It's not Nana. Outside voice, inside voice, good. So, and he says, it said, whatever comfort level you are comfortable with, open up at that level. He doesn't force his way in. He doesn't kick the doors open. He can, and he doesn't. And he invites us. And like I said, I don't know where you are. You might be, he may not even be on your street. He may not even have turned the corner to your road yet. But you can give him an invitation and say, hey, I'm leaving the gate open. Left the gate open. I'm leaving the door unlocked. Leave the door unlocked. We don't lock our door. You can walk in our house anytime. We don't lock our door unless my son-in-law's there because he's an RCMP officer and he locks it every time he comes in. Like, don't know if he thinks he's following him. But we don't lock our door until everybody in the house is home. Last person in locks the door. Just leave the door open. Let God come in. And that's the invitation to you this morning. Is whatever level you're comfortable with, to invite him in. You might say, hey, you're not coming past the gate, but I'll let you come to the gate. In fact, I'll let you come in past the gate. I'm not really sure I'm willing to let you all the way in yet. Or you might say, hey, I'm in. Swing wide the doors. Let him come in. Come into every single room of my being. What a great thought that he actually lets us give him permission to enter our lives. When he could, as the Lord of Heaven's armies, just barge his way in. I love him because he doesn't. It's just bizarre to me. Because if I was God, I would. And he just doesn't. He waits for an invite. Stand with me if you will, please. And we'll just pray together a second. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for the way that you laid this psalm out for us. We've scratched the surface of these few words. Father, some of us in this room have you standing at the gate. Please, by the power of your Holy Spirit in our lives, give us the courage that it takes to let you into the gate of our lives. Father, then, for others of us, have you standing at the door in different rooms of our lives even. And we're, give us the grace and the courage and the faith that it takes to give you access to the rooms of our lives. Father, don't let us leave you at these church doors. Don't let us leave you at the end of the drive of this church. Help us to carry you as a reasonable act of worship, to give our lives as a living sacrifice to you so that we can worship you in every single thing we do. So we can worship you in our jobs, so we can worship you in our driving, so we can worship you in our neighborliness with people, so we can worship you in everything. Help us with this, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Father, please be merciful with us. We are just human beings made in your image, and we are frail human beings. So help us, Father, we pray. Amen. If you're here today and you would like to talk to somebody about having God come closer to you in your life, then please come chat to me, come chat to Mark or Michael or Michelle, or grab Linda at the back, or come chat to Tim when he's put his guitar down, and they'd love to pray with you. I don't know, I would. Okay, bless you. Thanks.